You're listening to WYSO's Recovery Stories series, bringing you conversations from the heart of Dayton's opioid crisis. Today we meet Lori Arian and Lori Yupa. The women share more than just a name. Both have had children touched by addiction, and the experience led Lori Arian to create the Dayton nonprofit Families of Addicts, or FOA.
Two-thirds of American families have been touched by addiction. It is really hugely important that we get the word out that people can and do get better.
That mission brought Lori and Lori together, and in this story, they share how their lives have been changed as a result of their children's addictions.
My son Chase Cummings was 18. He had passed away on September 18, 2012. He loved animals. He liked to do little rap songs. You know, we'd be in the car together, and he'd say a rap song, and I'd do one. And, of course, we had a laugh at mine because my stuff didn't rhyme, and it was just silly stuff. He had potential, but he had the low self-esteem. He didn't want to come around the family because he felt like he was ashamed of what he had done. And the family at times would be, like, afraid to have him there because they're afraid he might steal something. Now, mind you, he was only doing this for 4 months, the heroin. His father had back pain, a lot of issues. He was taking oxycodone, Vicodin. Chase would get into that, and then it got into the heroin. Was clean for a couple months and then decided to use, and it killed him. Somebody injected him and left him and stole his radio, his wallet, and his cell phone. And it's the worst feeling in the world to get a coroner's report on your child, to have the clothes he wore the last night he was alive, or things like that. I have a box with a bunch of his stuff in it, and, you know, once in a while I get into that box and I lose it, and that's okay. At first, when he passed away, I was like, gosh, why can't I save my child? You're supposed to protect him. But I couldn't.
My daughter is still living. There's days where I feel like I'm trying to keep her alive. It was 24 in April. She was due in May, so I didn't name her April because she was born in April. We've been on this journey for, I believe, about 7 years now. One day she was especially sick, so I took her to urgent care. And I saw the marks on her arms when she was laying there, and I said, what is that? And she said, you know what that is. And that was the very first time I knew that she was using drugs intravenously. I had not even a clue. How would you ever think that your kid that is terrified of needles is going to wind up shooting heroin? I mean, it was unfathomable. That led us to years of rehabs with some success here and there. But I think what a really pivotal change for her was being locked up in Greene County Jail for 11 months. She got out and she did really, really well for, I think, almost a year. And then she decided to go off her medication and wound up relapsing that way. It's very nerve-wracking. I mean, I told her, don't use in my house because I don't want to have to revive you or find you. I would rather get a call. When I forbid had zero drug use tolerance in my home with her, what that is, it's just promoted lying because she didn't feel she could come to me. And I'm really just trying to let her figure it out for herself. She knows what she needs to do.
You don't want to force her because it's not going to work. You can pray, beg, cry, carry on, and plead with them to please get better, please stop. But unless they want to, they're not going to. That's one thing I do know.
There may come a day where I don't know what's supposed to happen with her. And hopefully I can be as healthy about it as you seem to be. And I know it's taken you a really, really probably a long time to be able to have some type of acceptance and peace about it. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I do. I will never wrap my head around it. I know my son's gone. I know he's in heaven. But I cannot wrap my mind around the fact that he's dead. My mind don't go there. I remember driving down the highway and think to myself, that cement block under 675 Bridge, I'm going to run into it and just end it because that's how bad it affects the whole family. I have another son, Chad, who's getting married. He is my world. If I didn't have that kid, I don't know what I would do. My son, who's healthy, has always done right, good boy. My son has said to me, Mom, you know you have another son, and that makes you feel horrible. I was so consumed in the grief of losing Chase, but, you know, I have to live for him, and I have to live for others, and that's what gives me joy. That's what helps me keep going.
You know, we've got a granddaughter on the way, first time ever. I want to make the time for my son, his girl, and the baby. That might change how I support April. There comes a certain point where I got to do things for my other child, and I'm not willing to miss out on it.
Nope.
I feel like I have a bond with you from that very first day.
Me too. I was so gung-ho. I wanted to help, help, help. And they gave me your name and number. And ever since then, it's been on like Donkey Kong, girl. She's just someone that's there for me, and I'll be there for her. I will always volunteer at every rally. I love doing that. I love you.
I love you too.